Go ahead and have a seat, because this is going to be a little bit of work here. We are praying and fasting this month, and we're going to pray, and we're going to give you a chance to pray for some of the prayer points. And I wanted you to be comfortable, because I didn't want you to feel rushed, like, when is this going to get over? So relax a bit. As we were worshiping, I was being reminded of this principle: your worship to God is like equity. It's like savings in a bank. It is not just happens in that moment and is gone. It continues to grow and then earn interest and multiply. And as we are doing that in Tacoma, don't be distracted by numbers or lack of numbers. Understand this is very strategic where we are geographically. It's very strategic, your faithfulness, who you are, and that you are worshiping God in this place, and it is giving God more and more authority in this land. It's like a 2 Chronicles 7:14, if a people, God's looking for a people called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And turn from their wicked ways, which that's our testimonies. We have all turned. We have all repented. And God is hearing our prayers. And I've just been so super encouraged by the prayers that we have here at Freedom River. And I know that's just the ones here. Church up the hill. They were joined us. Hope. Yeah, sorry. My brain wasn't working there. But again, every pocket of believers, God uses that equity together, and there is worship to God saying, come, we trust you, we love you, we want you in our city. So let's just kind of petition the Lord and pray right now, and in your mind's eye, in your heart, think of this. If you knew you had God's attention, what would you ask him for? And the reason I say it that way is because I'm confident that you do have God's attention. I'm confident that he is hearing every word. He is hearing your heart. And even if you don't have the words, Scripture says the Holy Spirit will help you with groanings and utterances. So one of the things we're praying for this month is breakthrough. And I think an easy way to define that is, if you knew God was listening. Now, I don't mean to minimize him like he's a genie in a bottle or anything like that. But this is the God of creation, a king, sovereign and rightful place in the heavenlies. If you had audience with him, what would you ask for? Well, I'm going to give you a moment right now, because not only do you have audience with him, but Scripture says you are his child. And I don't know about you, but it didn't matter what I was doing or how important of a task I thought I was working on. If my children had access to me, if they were in my office, they would interrupt. They would just come up and say, Daddy, and jump up on my lap, and it wouldn't matter who I was talking to. Well, guess what? You can do that, Abba, Father. You can do that with God. And he won't turn you away. He won't say, not now, maybe later. No, you have his attention. And so, Lord, we come to you asking for breakthrough now. Breakthrough this month. And like Daniel prayed for 21 days, the answer, the order was given in heaven the day he started, on day one. So we are asking God right now, knowing that it might be 21 days before the manifestation of it, the answer reaches earth. But God, we will not give up. We are going to persevere. So as you have gone before the Lord personally and asked him for that, the next thing we're praying for is victory over fear. And that really is a basis for so many of the crazy things we do and crazy ways we act. So why don't you just listen for a moment, and if the Holy Spirit points out a fear that you have, just lay it down. Just break agreement with it. Say to the Lord, I don't need that. I have you and I trust you. I won't fear rejection. I won't fear failure. I won't fear abandonment. I won't fear infirmity. I won't fear God, because we have you. And you have given us and awakened in us a faith to persevere. Another thing we're praying for is that we'll stand and have the courage to stand like Daniel stood, even when, for him, it was the penalty of death if he didn't kneel to a false god, to an idol. And I know the courage in this room. I know the boldness that is here. But I think we could all use an extra shot of confidence. And it comes with kicking faith out and just replacing it. So replace it with that confidence, with a boldness, with a courage, with faith. God, I want more faith. I want more boldness. I want more confidence in your character, in who you are in my life. As we're praying through these things, I hope that confidence starts to well up even now. And as we are doing this together, I might have Marcia talk us through this on Sunday, but as we're doing this together, she found a scripture in her private study that said, a city can be known as God dwells there. And as we are doing this together, I think that has been my heart for a long time. Lord, may Tacoma be known as a place where you dwell. Rather than for all the evil, rather than addiction and crime and all those statistics, can this place be known as a place where you dwell? And it's simply because men and women like are here tonight praying, opening their hearts to you, worshiping and putting that equity in the bank. Lord Jesus, you are rightful King. And we proclaim you are welcome here. Come, Lord Jesus. Thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for answering our prayers this week. Thank you for the update on baby Santiago, that he got released from the hospital. God, thank you, yes, for hearing our prayers. For healing, God, gives us confidence to keep praying, and for your supernatural provision. In Jesus' name. And the whole church together said,
Amen.
Amen. Hey, good to see everybody. I am feeling like something is different. God is doing something. And, you know, maybe I've said that before, but I don't know. This is different in that it is not contrived, or I don't feel embellished by me. I'm being surprised by God and what he is doing in all of us, in motivation. And again, it's not just this ministry, but everywhere. So very interesting times that we live in, very strategic. Thank you everyone for every little bit of faith you bring to the table. That is significant. It is a big deal. So Jesus is sharing with us tonight. This is his last Thursday night. Yeah, so I did the transition, so he went do worship, preach, and then do everything. So we gave him a 5-minute break, but we love you and are looking forward to tonight, and then Sunday will be his last Sunday, so be sure to come. We'll do a little send-off and reception after church. also the movie, but we'll take, you know, that's secondary. So anyway, I won't take more time.
Amen. All right. So I want to pray real quick as we are going into Romans 12. I think we're there somewhere. All right. There we go. We're going to be talking about worship in here as well, and just how our walk is worship. And I want to continue that in this now. So Lord, I just pray that you would bring your blessing over us right now, God, that we would fall into your grace and your peace and your love and your joy over our lives, God. And Lord, I just pray that we would, as we fast, Lord, and as we do these things, God, that it wouldn't be for no reason, God, that at the end of the time, Lord, you say in the scripture, it doesn't come back void, the word you speak, God, and the prayers that we give, Lord. So I just pray that there will be an overwhelming, an overjoy, God, an overwhelming accomplishment of the things that we're asking for, Lord. And I just pray that you bring your peace and your love, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So before we get into this, you know, kind of as my farewell speech, sermon, I want to tell you how I ended up at Freedom River. And so when I was just getting out of the Army, and it was like 2012, so we've been here, it's been a while now, and so I was just getting out of the Army, and at that time, my wife wanted to do ultrasound technician, and I wanted to go to Bible college. I knew that I was going to do Bible college, and so the only place we could do that together was here in Tacoma, right? And so, you know, we thought about Reno, because that's where my parents are. They didn't have a Bible college in Reno, but they had the thing there. We tried to go to Florida, and in Florida they had the Bible college, but they didn't have the ultrasound thing there, right? And so we're like, okay. And so then we looked around here, and we figured out that both have it. And then I figured, you know, I'm in Tacoma, so I'm going to Google Tacoma Bible College, right? Maybe at some point somebody will come up somewhere in Tacoma, and so there'll be a Bible college somewhere. And it ended up being that there was a Bible college called Tacoma Bible College at the time, right? And so it actually used to be on the second story here on this building where the youth room and stuff is now. That all used to be a college up there. And so I come to class, and we were assigned to do ministry, some kind of ministry for so many ministry hours so we can graduate from Bible college. And they laid out all the options, and I'm kind of, I said this earlier, but I'm kind of with a go with the flow kind of person, right? And so I'm like, what's the easiest way to get the ministry done, right? And I happened to be in class from 9 to 12 on Thursday, and there happened to be a food bank downstairs at 1 o'clock, 1 to 3 on things, so I can complete some of the hours that I needed to. And so I decided, you know what, since it's easy and I'm already in the building anyways, I'll go downstairs and serve at the Freedom River Food Bank, right? But that sounds like a coincidence, but actually the Lord had a lot of plans, right? And the Lord had a lot of different things that he was doing. And realizing later on, going through that, and I remember coming a couple times and getting to know John, and I was talking to him, and I was like, you know, I just feel the call to come to Freedom River and to serve with you guys. And he's like, all right, well, come in and try our service, right? And so I said, okay, I'm gonna come and try the service. And so I'm coming from like a very conservative Baptist church, okay? This, I gotta put that out there. And so I come rolling to Freedom River, and there's somebody doing flags, you know, it's okay. But not only was it somebody doing flags, it was a male doing flags, right? And I'm thinking, I forget his name now, but he used to be up here and he used to be dancing with his flags, and I'm like, okay, you know, I could let that, all right, that's cool, you know? Yeah. And then we were going into worship, and I remember, I think Chantel was the worship leader at the time. Yeah, she was singing, and she started speaking out and stuff, and I'm like, okay, you know, whatever, I guess I can handle that. In a Baptist church, you don't allow dogs to come into the building, okay? That's just not going to happen during the service, right? And so I sit down, somewhere in the middle, I sit down, and somebody rolls up with a little chihuahua in their little stroller thing, right? And And so they come rolling in, had a chihuahua, and it they, you know, and this, and the roads are pretty big, right? So I'm sitting, and so she just happens to bring the dog and set its little bed thing out on a thing right next to me, and so I'm trying to listen to the sermon and getting licked by a chihuahua at the same time. And so and so then service, you know, and then things were happening, and then service gets done, and I get to the car, and my eyes are like wide open, and you know, I'm just like, whoa, I don't even know what I just experienced, right? And so we get in the car, and Denise's eyes are wide open. She's like, I've never experienced that either. So we looked at each other, and we're like, you know what, we'll give it one more week. Maybe this is a fluke, right? And so we we come back the next week, and again, the guy's dancing. I said, okay, I guess that's normal. You know, the worship, they're prophesying over the worship. And I said, okay, that's cool. And so then I said, I'm going to beat the lady with a chihuahua this week, and I'm going to sit on this side of the sanctuary. And so that way she wouldn't come sit next to me with a chihuahua, right? I'm trying to listen to the sermon. So we get, as halfway through worship or so, I forget when it was, and she comes rolling in, and she must think that her chihuahua was my best friend of the week before, because she comes along and she sits next to me, right? And she brings the dog. And she even says, oh, your friend is here. And she and so she lays out the mat and puts the chihuahua next to me again. And we were done with the service, and we get to the car again, our eyes are wide open, and we're like, I don't know what just happened again. It must be not a fluke, because it happened 2 weeks in a row, you know. So we get in there, and I'm just like, Denise, I don't know, but as much as is going on, I feel like this is home, right? And so, so I remember feeling the Lord and feeling the touch of God, and the Lord said, this is home. Right? And, you know, we go through seasons of life, and we know that God's going to call us different places at different times. And it just happened to be, you know, what I thought was coincidence, but later on realizing it's not coincidence, right? God brought me here for a reason. And the things that I do in worship, I wouldn't even have imagined doing that before. The things, the prophecies that I've spoken, the things that I've done, wouldn't even have thought of doing something like that if it wasn't for coming to Freedom River, right? And so God has a plan for everyone, but it takes looking past the day-to-day. It takes looking past what you got going on right now, because if you just focus on that, it's hard to get by, right? And then later on, I'm actually going to want to pray through a critical spirit, but it takes past looking at things like that, because if we keep on looking at life with a critical spirit, then nothing's ever going to be good enough, right? And you'll never find peace in life, because you continue to say this is not enough when God has given it to you. You'll continue to say, there must be something wrong, or I did something wrong, or something like that, because it's not good enough. And that's a lie of the enemy. God gives you things sometimes, but God is the author of all. If you weren't supposed to go through it, then God wouldn't give it to you. If you're going through it, God gave it to you for a reason. But we have to know that, because if you focus on the trials that you're going through, and that's all you focus on, then this life is not going to be easy. It's not, you know, what's the point of me getting up? What's the point of me doing this? What's the point of me doing that if I'm just going to go through this, right? That is not what God wants you to focus on. God wants you to see past those things and to see what he has for you and how he has it for you. And that takes, it takes scripture into more thing when you realize when it says pick up your cross daily and crucify yourself to Christ, right? When I'm younger, I'm like, I don't know what that means. You know, I'm like, well, am I supposed to pick up a cross and walk around with it or whatever? That doesn't make sense to me, right? But then that later on realizing you, if you didn't have God, we're a very selfish people. Right? And there's a lot of stuff that we want to do, and it's for me, right? Sometimes you'll see people do good, but it's almost like if they want the good feeling or they want something, right, something they want out of it, right? That's picking up your cross is to say, Lord, I know today might be hard. I know it might be good, it might be hard, whatever it's going to happen, but I know that you're in control, and I'm going to make it through this day, not just barely, but I'm going to make it with the power of Christ. And that's actually what we have to walk with and understand that, because we can get so easily stuck in a rut, so easily stuck in a place where we don't move and we cry to God, I want to move, God, I want to do this, but then you still are thinking the same way you're thinking that day. You're asking God to give you happiness, but you're choosing to look at all the negative stuff that's going on in the world, or choosing to look at all the negative stuff that's going on in your life. The best way to beat negativity is to think of all the stuff that God has blessed you with. And that's where we're going here in Romans 12, it's the war of the mind. Knowing that everything that happens, we have to know and start to change it in our minds. I think we're still stuck. Can you go to the next slide? All right, so we have to review a little bit of Romans 11 to understand what the therefore stuff is going on there. But Romans 11 states that we have been grafted into or brought into the will of God. We need to understand that God is sovereign. And we need to understand that everything is for the glory of God. At the very end it says, all this is for the glory of God, right? And it says, not to take for granted that we have been allowed into the will, stay humble, right? And that's actually when we start to see is like, he's saying this to the Gentiles, hey, as easy as the Israelites rejected me, and as easily as I parted from them, I can do that to you too. So don't think that you're protected somehow. The reason you're here is because I allow you to, and the reason you're here is because I want you to be. But don't get too greedy with it, or don't get out of hand with it, and don't think that you're better than anybody else. Because if I would choose to part from my own people, who do you think you are, right? And so anybody said, but Paul is saying that you learn as you read stuff that Paul writes is, it seems harsh, but he really wants you to understand what he's saying here is, hey, you have to understand how an amazing thing it is for you to be allowed to be in the will of God. It's nothing that you have done. It's because I've chosen to allow you into the will. I've chosen to give you some here. I've chosen to give you something of mine. But don't take that and run with it and act like you're better than anybody, right? So next slide. It says, I appeal to you, therefore. Therefore is the whole Romans 11 is talking about, hey, you've been grafted in, you've been told these things, don't think you're better than anybody, right, kind of thing. It's like, this is all for the will. And it ends with, everything is to glorify Christ, right? So since everything is to glorify Christ, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with a sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has given or has assigned. I kind of mix them up a little bit because it's actually the Romans 12 is the first chapter of scripture that I memorized. I remember being in youth group and there was the youth pastor made some kind of rock thing we were called the rock, and so he carved some rock thing, and for some reason I thought it was cool, so I took the whole week and memorized the thing, and that's what I got out of it. But the next slide here. Yeah. It says, we are the servants of God. Servants of God needs to glorify the Lord, right? As servants of God needed to glorify the Lord. That's how we become a living sacrifice. We need to pick up our cross daily and lay ourselves down. The mind of Christ is anti-world in the sense that it's not about me. And we have to think differently, that when that's when we will be used. Why control the mind? Because our thoughts control our lives. And so, as we see, how do you know what God's will for you is in life, right? And I actually wrote an acronym one time, with the W being wholeheartedly pray, meaning everything that you can do, pray with your whole heart, whether that's fasting, whether that's every single day. I found some at some points that I prayed so hard that I actually fasted on accident, in a sense. Or I think it's just kind of like, hey, God, I really need your help. I need you to come. And I find myself a day and a half later realizing I've been so anxious about this. I've been praying about this so much that I haven't eaten in the last thing. And I get hungry, and it's like God reminds me, hey, you know, you've prayed, now let's go ahead and dine, right? And so wholeheartedly pray. But then something has to happen. You have to be quiet, right? And so I put intently listen. So you got to intently listen to what God is saying to you. That means stop, let God tell you what he wants to say to you, right? And that means stop saying things. Just be quiet and let him speak to you in whichever way he wants to speak to you. Because sometimes we're so much into praying, keep on work, because, you know, praying is more than just speaking. It's actually stopping, right? But we're so much into, like, God, 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 God. And he's like, I'm trying to talk to you, but you won't be quiet, right? And so you have to take a second, be quiet. It's a conversation, right? Prayer is a conversation. So if you are conversating with somebody, actually, when we were in the military, they used to have these radios they used to talk on, right? When you were holding the button down, the other person couldn't communicate with you, right? It's probably the same thing with the trucker things, right? But as long as you're holding the button down and you're talking to them, they can't say anything back because you're making the line active, and you won't let go of it, right? It takes you letting go of the button, and then now they can push the button on that side, and now they can say what they have to say, right? But there's been times where, you know, as a private or whatever, you're talking to somebody and you forget to let the button go, and you're sitting there for 5 minutes trying to contact somebody. And I've been on both ends where you're like, why aren't you listening? Why aren't you listening? And you're kind of thinking. And then I've been on the other end where my sergeant's like, if you would just let go of the button, you know, yelling over the the radio. But obviously we can't get out the trucks and stuff like that because we're in a dangerous place. But you can stop. I realize that you can stop a whole convoy by holding down a button and not letting the other person talk. So you can actually stop the will of God if you don't take time to listen to God and take time to actually say, Lord, I want you to talk to me. And I think a lot of times fasting can do that, right? Because you get to a point where you're like, God, I don't know what to pray for anymore. I'm just going to sit here and I'm just going to listen. And I like fasting because fasting actually reminds you to pray, right? When you're hungry, you're like, God, I'm hungry. I need you. This hurts. I'm not, you know, and it's kind of like, turns that way, and then from there it kind of turns to more prayer, into more prayer, and it kind of evolves in there. And then the first L of will of God, and I should have put this up here, but I forgot to, is locate and confirm it, right? Because anything that God is going to call you to do will not go against Scripture. I've had people come to me and say, hey, God has told me to leave my wife. No. No. Not even close. Yeah, it's not even close. God wants you to fight, and God wants you to do those things, right? You know, but hey, but you know, but I love this person. And I don't care what you love, right, and what you think you love. Scripture, your will for yourself will never go against Scripture. Never. If the will that you have, and you're like, this is God's will for me, and goes against Scripture, it's not. And sometimes we'll even use Scripture or different things like that to... I remember in the beginning part of my marriage, I used to use a lot of church. Like, hey, God has called me to go do the ministry, so I need to be at church. But it's like, you know, not being at home enough with the kids, not doing different things like that, right? But I would say, like, no, but you don't get it. I used to have in my mind that church meant God, right? I have to be at the church building to be with God. But then realizing, you know, as a father and as a husband, your first ministry is your family, right? And so I would say, okay, now I had to change it. It was God, family, then church, right? And so what that does, it puts things perspective for me in saying, God is always first, right? But what God's will is to take care of your family. Because you even see when it comes to elders or and things like that, Scripture says, how is the family of that person doing, right? And you can't worry about the family if you're always doing other things and not with your family, right? And so God puts family in a very big priority. And so you got to ask yourself, when it comes to locating and confirming, does it actually line up with what God has for me? Or what God wants for me, right? Again, if it goes against Scripture, then it's not. Hey, you know, there's other times, you know, I really love this person and I'm supposed to live with them before marriage. I'm just going to say this and put that out there, that that's probably not what God wants. I'm going to put that there and say, and I just, these are just examples, right? These aren't like me trying to, I don't know if this is going on anywhere. I want to put that out there, right? I'm just saying these are just examples that God has given to me right now in my mind. And so don't think I'm calling anybody out. If you're getting called out, that's between you and the Lord, okay? Right. And so, I'll just say, so you got to locate and confirm it, right? And then the last is you got to live life and put it into practice. Because if you get all this from the Lord and then you don't even put it into practice, then what's the point of getting it from God? And it's almost like a language, right? We talked about when it comes to Holy Spirit stuff, it's a language. And so the more you use it, the more you have it, the less you use it, the less you understand it, right? I remember growing up, my mom comes from Mexico, and so for the first, 6 years of my life, or 5 years, or whatever it was, I think, I would speak nothing but Spanish at home, right? Because that's what my mom would speak. And then I go to school, and I start to learn English. And so then my Spanish starts to go down, and my English started going up. And then it kind of switched swap when I barely knew any Spanish anymore. And it wasn't until my mom, when I was about 13 years old, my mom says, hey, let's go to Mexico. We had my family ranch down there, and I used to love going down there. And I woke up in the morning, and she's gone. She didn't tell me that, hey, by the way, I'm going to leave you there for the summer so you can have out your uncle, right? And so and so we show up, and I wake up, and she's gone. And I ask my uncle, hey, where did my mom go? She's like, well, she left this morning. I'm like, what? Like, you don't, like, I didn't even know, right? And so I definitely had to learn Spanish very quickly when I was there because there was no way for me to communicate unless it was in Spanish. My uncle kind of knew some broken English, but the rest of the time, and I mean, it was a hard summer, you know, doing all kinds of hay bales and things like that and taking care of cows and all these different things that goes on. And later on, I actually thank my mom. I had a really fun summer. But I remember for the first week, I was like, Mom, you suck. You left me here out in the middle of nowhere. I can't even say nothing. I can't talk to nobody. but after a while, I was appreciative of it, and I actually enjoyed that summer. And it's actually a summer that stays in my mind for a long time because of how much enjoyment I actually got out of it. I started thinking, what does sober-minded mean when it comes, right? Because I was reading it, and I'm just like, of course I'm sober. I'm not high, or I don't drink, or don't smoke nothing. Of course I'm sober, right? But what it's talking about is a very clear mind. We don't understand. There's a lot of articles that have come out now, but there's a few things that actually turn you, like what they call it, insane for a little bit, right? One is anger, is you don't realize that when you stop thinking the right way, you kind of get into a spot of just even normal person. They call it like a temporary insanity, where you kind of like, you get so angry that you're not thinking straight anymore. You kind of just do what you're doing, right? Sexual things as well. If you put yourself in the wrong situation, they say that your body kind of takes over and you kind of like lose your sense of what you should be doing, things like that. When it comes to mourning is another example, right? We kind of fluctuate back and forth depending on what's going on. And but I've come to realize that when we think of something not outside of God's will or not putting God first, it's not a sober thinking. Right? The only thing that is the right thinking is God's thinking. That's the sober thinking, right? Because if you have a fence in your life and you think that you're doing something to protect yourself, like I'm not going to put myself in a situation. Now obviously be wise. I'm not saying do things that you're not supposed to, but like if you're like, hey, the last time I trusted somebody, they hurt me. And so that's how you think, that's not thinking soberly. That's thinking unclear, right? That's thinking a different way. If you have a lot of anxiety things or depressions or these different things that are going on in life, and that's how you, if you think with those instead of thinking way that God wants you to think, then you're not thinking soberly the way that God wants you to think stuff. And it actually is talking about here is don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, but think with a clear and a sober conscience, right? So it's saying think outside of your box. Think outside of who you are, because society actually wants you to believe that God is illogical, but God is the most logical thing that we know. You know, and a lot of people separate, you know, like science and the Lord, but you should put those things together and make it, you know, it's a nice little package together. You know, the things, a lot of scientists have realized that a lot of things that they try to disprove, they can get proven now because of Scripture, or they find things with Scripture, things like that, right? And so you got to take those things and put it all together, right? And don't take God out of the equation. It's very easy to take God out of the equation. I say this enough because I see it on Facebook all the time is, you know, I got to put my Christianity aside for a second and deal with this problem. And it's like, you've already admitted that you decided to do something that you're not supposed to be doing. Because you don't take your Christianity aside, you bring your Christianity or your relationship with God, whatever you want to call it, your relationship with the Lord, and bring it to the situation. But God doesn't go to this drug house, or God doesn't call, then don't go. You know? If God God doesn't do this, or God wouldn't be here, or God doesn't speak that way, then don't speak that way. Don't act that way, don't speak that way, don't go to that places. If God wouldn't be with you, then don't. I remember watching when I was youth group, I remember seeing a video. I forget the name of it now, but it's basically, there's a high school thing going on, and you see Jesus walking by, and he's making fun of kids, and he's pushing them around, and he's doing all these different things, and you're like, in your mind, you're thinking, God, Jesus wouldn't do those things, right? But then later on, it flashes to a youth, at the church in the youth group, in the gym, and Jesus is playing, you know, basketball, and he's, you know, heckling people and doing whatever he's doing, right? And it turns over to this kid, and his eyes are open. And it actually shows us, it was one of the teenagers who goes around the school, is doing all this stuff, but then the kid that he picked on showed up to youth group. And so now it's like, whoa. You know, like, if this is what Christianity is, or if this is what God is, then why do I want those things, right? We can't take God to places where God is not supposed to be. And I know, and I say this, if the Lord has called you to some crazy places, but you have to be for sure that God has called you to these crazy places. God calls people to places that are extreme, but that's for that individual. You know, sometimes people believe, hey, they can do it, then I can do it. If God hasn't called, you got to be very sure that if you're going to some extreme places, that God has called you to those places. Because you're going to find yourself in the midst of it, right? If you're like, well, God has called me to this drug house to get this person or whatever, God, if you're going to get tempted going there, then God is probably not calling you there. But, you know, if it's a different situation and you can walk by somebody who's doing drugs in the street and you can preach to them or whatever, as long as you have a group of people with you, then God is probably calling you there, right? You have to have, God speaks to you and you have your own discernment that God has given to you, right? Now you can says, you can test what the will of God is. As long as you're sober-minded, as long as you pray to God, and as long as you ask God, you can actually test and say, God, is this your will? Is this actually what you want me to do? And then it's like, and if all these things start to run, but what if you get tempted, or what if blah, 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 all these different things, right? Then I say, you know what, just take a sit back and figure that out, because I don't want people to, and the thing is, I've seen it now, where people have very good intentions, and they want to go somewhere to save somebody, and they end up falling and getting hurt. And a lot of things happen, right? A lot of times, that happens with men and women. I definitely do not believe, and I would say be careful, if you're a man counseling a woman, if you're a woman counseling a man, right? And those are things that you need to be careful of. And that's where you have to ask the will of God and ask him, hey, Lord, is it supposed to be happening, right? If it's like, yeah, you know, if you're at a Starbucks in public, or maybe at the church in public, or whatever, but if it's like, hey, go into her house at 11:30 at night to go to the counselor, it's not going to happen, guys. It's just not. Be smart. Be smart of where you're going. And I say these things because these are things that we run through in our minds, right? I mean, I'm just saying them, but this is things that we run through. Like, hey, you know, she's, you know, calling me at 11:30 saying she needs help. Don't go. I'm just saying, if you're, you know, you just say, hey, I'm going to, you know, I'll find something, you know, I'll pray for you, whatever, on the phone. I'll do whatever you can, or I'll get somebody to come get you. But just know that you have to be able to, and you will know by testing the will of God. Hey, I've seen somebody before, and don't think that you're better than somebody, right? Because it's like that person got tempted, but it's I'm not that person, right? I can do it. Now I could do it right now. I could go out. Come on, don't be naive, right? Don't think that you're better than somebody else, that you're gonna roll up in there. Hey, that person, you know, that happened to that person. It ain't gonna happen to me. No. Be careful. And you have to be very careful because you have to understand that God actually wants you to do His will, and God actually wants to encourage you and He wants to bless you. And maybe you are seeing visions of one day, you know, walking into a place that you would never be able to walk to before. But be careful and be ready for when the timing of God is. If you're 3 days sober, it's probably not a good day to go to a drug house. If it's 5 years later, I would say, you know, I'd be conscious, right? But if the God is calling you later on, that's different, right? But be careful of the schemes of the enemy. It says be wise, right? Be wise. Be wise and actually ask yourself, should I be doing this or should I not be doing these things? And we have to, and it's again, this later part of the scripture there talks about we have to remember how much of a blessing it is. God chose us. We didn't choose God. As much as we say if it wasn't for God's prompting, you wouldn't have chosen God. And God prompted you and gave you the conviction to ask Him into your life. You didn't go to God and say, hey, God, you know, I need. No, it says, as we were still sinners, Christ died on the cross for us, right? Saying, hey, you know, I know that you're doing some bad stuff, but I'm still here and I died for you. And then you choose to come to God, right? So remember the blessing that you have. And then just remember that we're all humans and we make mistakes, right? We got to remember that and be humble about that too, right? What happens is if you come around riding on a big white, I'm better than everybody, I'm all this right religious stuff going on, and you're riding some horse and you get tripped up and you fall, it's a long way down, right? But when we actually stay humble and we come along each other and we actually care for one another the right way, when you fall, if you fall and people are ready to peck at you, then you got to ask, I'll be like, hey, what's, you know. But if you fall and people come alongside of you and they love you, then you're probably doing something right. And I'm not saying that all the time 100% because there's always going to be people out there that want to get at you for whatever reason. But for the most part, if you fall and people actually care and actually want to love you and care for you, then I would say, hey, you know, and they're not excited for you to, you know, kind of get out of the way, then I would say you're probably doing something right and you're probably doing what the Lord wants to do for you. Can I get the next slide? I don't know if I'm doing something. And then I'm not going to read this right now, but it talks, actually, it says, for as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If it's prophecy in proportion to our faith, if it's service in our service, the one who's teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes it generously, the one who leads with zeal, and the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Next slide, please. So we all have a part of the will of God. We need to figure out what our part of that is and what we're supposed to do for the Lord. And everyone has a different personality, and that's okay, right? When I first started the Christian walk, I'd be like, man, that person annoys me, right? And I'd be like, there's no way that person's a Christian. I mean, they're still Christian even though they're annoying you. I'm just going to put that out there, right? And even so, if somebody's a little different than you, that doesn't mean that they're not part of Christ, right? What all I was saying is, hey, we as a body, right, a kidney is different than the mind, or the toe is different than the hand, right? And so how they live life and what they're doing with life is different than what your life is. Doesn't make it any more special or less special than you. We all have a part, right? Everybody got a paper cut, right? It's one of the smallest cuts, but it hurts a lot, right? So just like that, when the body, even if you think you're one of the smallest things, if you're injured, then the whole body's injured. So don't think that you're any less special than anybody else, and that somebody else is, you know, don't compare. It's not a comparison, right? This life is not a competition with one another. We should be happy for each other. Scripture says that we should outdo one another in showing honor. So don't get jealous of somebody else's victories. Come alongside them and pray, help them. You know, you say, hey, that was awesome. Come alongside with them and enjoy the victory with them, right? It's better to enjoy the victory with them than to be jealous in the corner. Just, I've learned that lesson as well. I mean, we've all been there before, I think, especially in the military with promotions and stuff like that. I'm like, man, that's my best friend, but he got promoted, so I got to kind of, you know, I got a little bit of, but I should be happy. We should be happy, right? We should be happy with them. And then also, if you feel a promotion in your life, remember where you came from. don't like, you know, you're 40 days clean, and so then you start talking bad about addicts or something. I mean, it's just not, don't, you know what I'm saying? Remember where you came from and actually know that God protected you, and God's going to protect somebody else as well, right? And just know that because we're not against each other. And a lot of times I think the enemy wants us to believe that and wants us to think that, hey, this person is doing this to me, whatever. You know, I was driving home the other day, and I was saying, you know how much effort it would take for some of the people who think that I'm planning to ruin their life, how much effort on my side it would take for me to sit there every, 23 hours a day thinking, oh, I can't wait for this. I mean, that's a long time, right? I don't feel like doing that all day long, and I'm not going to probably do that all day long. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm saying that is because sometimes we think in our minds, oh, that person's just out to get me, right? That person isn't even thinking about you when they're at home. But we have it in our minds, right? Oh, I can't wait. You know, that person must be at home. No, ain't nobody thinking about you, okay? I'm saying that I hope people are praying for you, and I think a lot of people are praying for you. But don't think that people are at home scheming, and because that's the scheme of the enemy, right? He wants you to believe that people are against you, and he wants you to believe that people want bad for you, right? But that's, I would say 99% of the time it's not true. People, especially in the church, want good for you. You might run into, 1% every once in a while that legitimately has a gripe with you for no reason. But that's a very small percentage of the people that you walk with, right? And we even have one of the bulletins, and I think it's, I forget what sheet it is on the thing, but it says if you walk somewhere and somebody's speaking and you think it could be good or bad and you automatically take it as bad, or you think that people are scheming against you when they're not, that's actually one of the strongholds that you have. It's just saying, hey, these people must be, no. If you walk into a room and people are talking, it's probably not about you, okay? We kind of make a joke about it sometimes, like, oh, we were just done talking about you, right? It was just a joke. But most likely, when you're walking into the room, they're not talking about you, they're talking about something else. And I learned this lesson with the anger that God, I had a lot of anger when I got back from my Afghanistan. I said this before, but I was driving down the road, and somebody cut me off. And God said, and I was getting angry. I could feel myself tensing up, whatever. And I remember I heard two things. I heard to Celestine, and then afterwards, when I started to process this stuff, God's like, do you realize that person just got home and they're, excited they got home to eat their TV dinner 5 minutes before they were supposed to get home? You know, I got home at 5:45 instead of 5:50 or whatever, right? And you're at home all mad with your kids and your wife because you brought that anger from the road home, and you're arguing with your wife and you're arguing with your kids and you're frustrated, and you spent the next 4 hours trying to get over this person cutting you off on the road, and and this is like a continual thing, right? And it's, or somebody makes you mad at the grocery, or whatever it is, right? That person isn't even thinking about you. That person's at home doing their own thing, and you're at home, ruining your marriage or ruining your friendships or ruining your relationship with your kids, and that other person is not even thinking about you. So figure out where to put your attention and how much of it to put, because you're going to find yourself ruining things and all these games that the enemy's playing in your mind when it's not even true. And then we have to ask ourselves, what causes the friction that we have with others? Is it our own insecurities, our own offenses, or is it a spiritual attack? There's been different times in my life where I've had my own offenses, and I responded out of the offenses. There's been times in my life where I have insecurities, and I responded out of the insecurities, right? Because if somebody else, let's say somebody else, it is the other person throwing out, whatever, you got a big head or something, right? And if I don't believe that I got a big head or I'm not in my security, it ain't going to do nothing for me, right? It's just going to say, okay, whatever, I don't really care. But if I'm insecure about I have a big head, and then somebody says you have a big head, I'm going to get offended by it, right? So who's the one that really should take the thing in? If you don't receive it, then it's not yours, right? We even talk about that when it comes to a bird. If we don't let the bird land on your tree, right? And so if you don't receive the offense, then it's not yours anymore. That's the other person's still, and let the other person deal with it, because that's not yours anymore, right? And so don't let those things happen. Next slide. So I want to pray against the critical spirit. The one thing that I've learned, I think like 2 years ago, I probably had one of the most depressed years that I've had, right? And I remember it kind of leading up. It was like the summertime, things were going bad, or at least I think it was going bad, right? And then I remember it got to winter and it starts to rain. And I can remember the day that it's almost like a spirit of depression fell on me. It was, I said it out loud. I said, man, it's starting to rain. I can't even get sun. Like I was like so mad, and I was so like in such a bad place that I was like, now that God, you're taking the sun away from me, you know, like, and now I gotta suffer for the next, you know, 6 months without any sun. And I remember that actually brought me to a depressed winter time that I had. And what I learned out of it though was the Lord spoke, and I feel like the Lord spoke to me a few weeks back. He said the critical spirit is the number one reason a lot of people are depressed. Because we're always thinking about the negative. And we're always thinking about how bad life is and the whatever, whatever. And because if somebody gives you a slice of bread, but it wasn't the whole loaf, right? And so it's like, you know, but God fed you with a slice of bread. And so then you get mad, and you get mad because you didn't get the whole loaf of bread. God didn't give you the whole loaf. He gave you the slice of bread. And be appreciated for the slice of bread that God gave to you, right? But if we don't, then we fall into a place where we're depressed, right? You know, I see a lot of times with income, right? It's like, God, I'm praying for some money. And then later on down the road, you realize that your bills are paid, everything else is paid. You just don't got money to go out to do whatever you want to do, right? But at least everything you're taken care of, be happy that God got you a place. Because there's people, I mean, we'd see it out here in the street. There's people in the streets who don't have a place. Be happy that you just barely paid your bills, right? I just, you know, when I'm done paying my bills, I only have $10 in my name. But guess what? At least you're at a home. At least you're, you know, you have a car. At least you have warmth. At least all these different things that you have, right? So what are you depressed? What caused you to be depressed is because you're critical about the things that God has given to you. And when I started to realize, I said, God, you know, I'm not exactly where I mean, in the sense of like, and like spiritual wise and things like that. I'm like, God, I'm not where I want to be, or not where I'm supposed to be. And he kept on giving me little nuggets of blessings, but I would overlook them because I was critical of where I was in life. God, I'm supposed to be different. I'm supposed to be in a different place right now. God, why am I still here? And it's like, but I'm giving you things, but you're just not taking them. And so your critical spirit will cause you to miss out on many things that God has given to you throughout the day. And you know, how did I make it through that depressed time? I made it through finally saying, God, I accept where you have me. I accept the things that you have given to me and the positions that you've given to me. This is what you call me to be. This is what I'm going to do, Lord. And once I started to accept it and I started to appreciate the things that God has given to me, it pulled me out of that thing, right? And well, guess what? What I realized was, if you think about it, a line, I was here in criticalness. God, I just want to get back to this line, right? So I'm going to praise you for everything that you've given to me. Guess what? The line doesn't stop. And it keeps on going. If you look at a graph chart, now where you think your blessings used to be, now it's higher. And it's higher, and it's going to keep on going higher. And you're going to be able to accept the blessings that God has given to you and put it in your bank or whatever you... Because it's going to be... You're going to be excited for the things that God has given to you, right? Now, you know, when somebody gives you that slice of bread... It's like, guess what? Now I had two slices of bread, right? I'm excited. Yeah. And instead of saying, hey, I didn't get the loaf, now I got two slices. Here's the next thing, right? I'm going out throughout the day. Here's some peanut butter or whatever, right? I can make a sandwich now, right? I didn't get the whole loaf, but at least I'm eating a sandwich now, right? And so what I'm saying is, be excited for the things that God has given to you. And the number one killer of that is to be critical of the things that God has given to you. Number one killer. You're going to be depressed. Now, I'm not saying, again, I want to always caution to say, I'm not saying like if you're on depression meds or something like that, don't not take them. You know, do your thing. Go to your doctors. Figure out what you got to do. What I'm saying is try some positiveness in your life. Because a lot of us, when the positive thoughts start to come through, we're going to start to pull out of things. And we're going to start to go, and God is going to bless you. And that's a journey that I had to go down and I had to learn. I think that God didn't want me to go down the journey? I think God didn't want me to. But I chose to, right? I chose to go down that journey and I chose to suffer and I chose to do things. And the way that I realized that I'm the one choosing it was because how fast I was able to get out of it. And I remember, and people are like, man, you know, and it came to worship, it was like, people start saying, man, your worship is getting better, all these different things, and it's like, what's going on? It's not. What it had to do was with my spiritual life and my spiritual side. It wasn't until my spiritual side started to get better that the worship I had for God started to get better. And I'm not saying bad things aren't going to happen. What I'm saying, though, is when you look and you start to focus on God and ask God, why am I going through this? And you start to say, God, although this is a trial, it must be a blessing. I don't know how it's a blessing, God, but it must be a blessing because you're allowing me to go through it. Because I look at my kids, right? I do not purposely, just to see them hurt, do stuff to my kids. That's just not, right? But there's sometimes when they're acting up that I say, hey, I'm going to take, you know, your PlayStation from Junior, right? And there's sometimes where he's like, I'm going to take your PlayStation. He's like, I don't care. All right, then I'm going to keep taking things until you finally care. That's kind of, right? And I'm going to take this, and I'm going to take this then, and I'm going to take, and then finally when I get the reaction that I want, in a sense of like, hey, now I know that you're sorry, then I stop, right? God doesn't want to take things from you. And guess what? God wants to bless you, right? God wants to bless you like crazy. He wants to, right? He wants to give you everything that you want. Obviously in his will, but he wants to give it to you, and he wants to give those things to you, and he wants to bless you, and he wants, you know, all these different things. And what I'm saying here as well is there's never been a day in your life that has been as perfect as God wants it to be for you. So quit trying to aim for something in the past. God wants to bless you with so much that you've never even seen it before. So it's not about, hey, I remember this time when I was happy in life. Guess what? You can think how you were happy, whatever. And I remember, because I remember being a kid, I'm like, I used to be happy as a kid. No, it's because, yeah, I didn't take everything as serious as when I was a kid. I didn't have too good of a childhood, right? But I had a good childhood, in the sense that in my mind, I was actually not caring for all the things that was happening. I was actually just enjoying my life. You want to enjoy life? Then enjoy life. It's your choice. It's our choice. If we choose to do it, then it's going to happen. The enemy cannot stop you. The enemy can bring whatever he wants, but when you stand with God, you can say, no, this is my day. Amen. So let's stand and let's pray against this critical spirit. And we can repeat after me. And I want there to be some joy afterwards, right? We need to feel the excitement. You know? And so we're going to pray, and it's going to be a good day, you know. And I thank everybody for a good 8 years at Freedom River. And it's been an awesome time. And it's been a ride. And I'm still here on Sunday, so I just wanted to say goodbye in a sense for Thursday, because it is a different crew that we have on Thursday. It's kind of more intimate and more personal in a sense. And so we can know and be expecting of what God, and I know God's going to bless this place, and God's going to bring something that you guys have never seen before, that none of us has never seen before. God's going to bring something that is so, makes it so in awe that you can't even fathom what God wants for you. You can put the best thing together, and guess what? God's going to make it even better. We asked for a house of wood, and he's going to make a house of gold. Amen. All right? So God wants it, and so just repeat after me. So Lord,
I confess
that I take
your blessings
and make them less than they are.
That's my sin.
Father, I confess
that I look at things critically.
And the negative side of everything.
And the negative side of everything.
And that's my fault.
And that's my fault.
And my sin.
And my sin.
So I say to critical spirit,
be gone now in the name of Jesus.
Be gone now in the name of Jesus. You have no part in my life.
You have no authority in my life.
I break, sever right now in Jesus' name. So Father, I receive your blessings, your joy, your happiness, your day-to-day life. And I'll appreciate this day. And I'll appreciate tomorrow. And the day after that. Thank you for your daily blessings. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.